The Real Issue, The Real Debates, an audio series on the Lincoln Douglas debates with Rodney Davis and Douglas Wilson of the Lincoln Study Center at Knox College. Their book, The Lincoln Douglas Debates, the Lincoln Study Center edition, looks at all the existing debate texts and gives us a new, more accurate record of the words and ideas expressed by Stephen Douglas and Abraham Lincoln. They were running for a seat in the U.S. Senate from Illinois in the summer and fall of 1858. It is August 27, 1858, a Friday, 6 days after the Ottawa debate. This second debate in the series is in Freeport, at that time a town of about 5,000 people in the far northwest corner of Illinois. It's a strong Republican congressional district. Rodney Davis sets the scene for the debate.
The day was altogether different from the day at Ottawa. It was cool and rather rainy. Douglas arrived the night before. He was met by a torchlight procession. The Democratic paper in Freeport said there were 1,000 carriers of torchlights. The editor of the Republican paper said there were 75. There was the usual array of demonstrations, partisan demonstrations of one sort or another, on the day of the debate. Douglas originally was supposed to ride to the debate site in a rather elaborate carriage. But when he saw Lincoln was going to be taken to the debate site in a Conestoga wagon, accompanied by what the Republican paper called plain old-fashioned farmers, Douglas decided he would walk. The same thing happened relative to the speaker stand at Freeport that happened at Ottawa. Certain members of the crowd got on the stand and had to be physically removed, and the crowd continued to be rather unruly. When Douglas started to speak, somebody threw a piece of mallet at him and hit him on the left shoulder. In spite of this unruliness, and I suppose because of the dispensation that we might have to think of anti-slavery people as being kind of placid and sedate, none such. This was a very active crowd, although probably, as I say, as overwhelmingly Republican a crowd as either candidate were likely to confront. Now, Lincoln had been somewhat primed for this debate. A group of his political supporters had met in Chicago the day before. They were concerned because they thought Lincoln was off balance at Ottawa, that he needed to regain the offensive. He had the advantage of an opening at Freeport. They prepared a list of several questions and passed them on to him that they thought that he ought to confront Douglas with. And one of these questions was the most famous one, the second question on the list, in which Lincoln, once the debate started, once he had answered to his satisfaction the questions that Douglas had asked him at Ottawa, Lincoln then proceeded with his own questions. The most famous of these was, implicitly with the Dred Scott decision in mind, do the citizens of a territory have any way of keeping slavery out of that territory? And Douglas's response, of course, was his famous Freeport Doctrine, in which he said, slavery cannot possibly survive any place where the people don't want it. If they refuse to pass the necessary police regulation, then slavery will not thrive there. That probably is the most important piece of dialogue, or the most memorable piece of dialogue from that debate. It was also characterized, I guess I should say, by some rather extraordinary race baiting on the part of Stephen A. Douglas. He noted the fact that the last time he had been in Freeport, Frederick Douglass was also in town the same day, and that Frederick Douglass was seen riding in a carriage with a white woman, the carriage being driven by the husband of that white woman. And Douglass, of course, milked that image to its maximum extent, trying to emphasize the potentially salacious character of that particular transaction. Someone in the crowd shouted, "What of it?" For at least a moment, Douglas and the crowd, or certain members of the crowd, got involved in a shouting match in which Douglas accused the members of the Freeport audience of being black Republicans.
Black Republicans was a term coined by Democrats and intended as an insult. Democrats argued that Republicans who opposed slavery were in favor of equality between blacks and whites, and ultimately in favor of race mixing. Hence that scandalous story about Frederick Douglass that Rodney Davis talked about. It was all designed to play on the widespread race prejudice on the parts of whites, both in Illinois and in other areas of the North. Not only did Douglas accuse the crowd of being black Republicans, at Ottawa, he had posed a series of questions accusing Lincoln of having supported a number of abolitionist resolutions. Now, in Freeport, Lincoln tries to respond, denying that he is an abolitionist, as Douglas Wilson explains.
This whole business of the questions, Lincoln, of course, was very wary at Ottawa if Douglas got up and asked him these questions. First of all, he didn't like to be questioned unless Douglas said he was willing to answer questions. And second of all, Douglas's assumptions were totally wrong. His assumptions were, this is what you believed in 1854 and put your name to, and now do you still believe this radical thing? And so he wasn't going to answer. But Douglas knew how to put the screw in there. He got up afterwards and said, you see, he's not going to answer my questions. He's telling you things about, oh, I wasn't there, I was off at Tazewell or something in court. And really stuck it into him for this. Now, Lincoln's trying to get back the momentum in Freeport. So he begins by taking this list of questions that Douglas had asked him and saying, in effect, no, I didn't at the time believe that, and I don't believe it now. Or this wasn't my policy in 1854, and this isn't my policy now. This isn't where I stood in 1854, and it isn't where I stand now. So he answers, gives the same answer to all these questions. Nonetheless, you would think that Lincoln would be able to turn the tables at Freeport. He had the opening. He could deal with the questions. They had found out that Douglas's information was wrong and he had made false assumptions. Nonetheless, I don't think you could say that Lincoln regains the momentum at all at Freeport. This is a measure of how good Douglas is. They're on the best Republican ground they're going to be on, the most sympathetic, a very large crowd, and yet he is still very effective.
One manifestation of the extent to which Lincoln was still on the defensive, or at least hadn't really taken the offensive at Freeport, lies in the fact that you would expect him to have followed up on the on Douglas's response when he asked him the question about slavery and in the territories if the inhabitants don't want it. Lincoln did not follow that up. It had to the fact that he did not follow it up had to have left the debate as seeming pretty anticlimactic to a fair number of his partisans, both in the crowd and among those who were reading the account of the debate later.
That's Rodney Davis with Douglas Wilson. They are co-directors of the Lincoln Study Center at Knox College. Their book on the Lincoln-Douglas debates, the Lincoln Study Center edition, is published by the University of Illinois Press. At Freeport, Lincoln had succeeded at one thing. He made Douglas commit to the so-called Freeport Doctrine, Douglas's position that the issue of slavery was up to the majority, that a majority of whites could have the power to keep blacks in slavery. It's a point that Lincoln would return to in later debates. The next debate between Stephen Douglas and Abraham Lincoln would be 2 weeks later in Jonesboro in southern Illinois in mid-September. And that is the next segment of this audio series, The Real Issue, The Real Debates, a presentation of Knox College and the Lincoln Study Center at Knox College.